Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. business card and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11 inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. Issuesetc.org, go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. Well, we've heard the results of the survey on the attitudes of Muslim Americans. Now let's find out what those results might mean. Robert Spencer joins us to analyze some of the results. Robert, welcome back to Issues Etc.
It's always good to be here, Todd. Thank you.
One of the findings of the Pew survey is that American Muslims themselves don't believe that their own leadership are speaking out strongly enough against radical Islam and Islamic terrorism. What do you think exactly concerns them? What's an example of this?
Well, I think that what we're seeing in general is the manifestation of the fact that most of the groups in the United States that claim to represent Muslims are tied to jihad groups and Islamic supremacist groups like Hamas and the Muslim Brotherhood and so on, whereas there are a lot of Muslims among the rank and file people in the United States who are not on board with the Muslim Brotherhood Islamic supremacist agenda, and they don't really consider themselves to be represented by those people. And so they feel an alienation from the leadership.
So if you were to give your general analysis of the Pew Research Center's latest survey on the attitudes of Muslim Americans, what would it be, Robert?
Well, I would say that it's clear that there is a lot of the victimhood rhetoric has been very successful, because most American Muslims, more than half of American Muslims, say that they feel singled out by anti-terrorism policies. And so even if they're not enchanted with the leadership, at the same time, Todd, we're seeing that the Muslim Brotherhood agenda in the U.S. has been to portray Muslims as victims and as unfairly singled out by anti-terror measures has been successful, at least among U.S. Muslims, to make them feel aggrieved and as if they are being unjustly scrutinized, when actually, you know, in a sane world, we would have American Muslim leaders being anxious to demonstrate their loyalty to the United States and not playing the victim and crying that they're being discriminated against, when actually, you know, the Muslims are freer in the United States, as you and I know, than they are in most Muslim countries. And they're not being discriminated against. They're not denied rights. They're not even being scrutinized in any very serious way. But there is obviously some law enforcement attention directed toward the American Muslim community, since the Islamic Jihad is real and there are Islamic Jihad activities going on in American mosques.
The survey found that very few Muslim Americans, just 1%, say that suicide bombings and other forms of violence against civilian targets are often justified to defend Islam from its enemies. An additional 7% say that suicide bombings are sometimes justified in these circumstances. Fully 81% say that suicide bombing and other forms of violence against civilians are never justified. Your thoughts there?
Well, you know, I appreciate that those numbers, and I hope they're true. At the same time, we still continue to see the phenomenon of suicide bombing among Muslims in Afghanistan and Iraq, in the Palestinian Authority, and so on, wherever Muslims are in a hot war zone. And so I wonder, do the American Muslims who answered this survey in these good ways, do they really have a different vision of Islamic teaching that guarantees paradise to those who kill and are killed for a law, which is a Quran verse, or are they just telling the pollsters what they want to hear? I would like to see American Muslims, if they really so overwhelmingly reject the theology behind suicide bombing that's justified by the Quran, the holy book of Islam, working in Muslim communities in the United States and around the world to teach against the attitudes and beliefs and assumptions that give rise to this practice.
When asked to choose, nearly half of the Muslims in the survey, 49%, say that they think of themselves first as a Muslim. 26% say they think of themselves first as an American. 18% say they are both. Which should it be, Muslim American or American Muslim?
Well, I think that it's got to be American first for everyone in the United States, and I say that with a lot of hesitation and a lot of qualification. It might be that there is that we'd have to discuss this at greater length at some other time, because there are a lot of distinctions that can be made, and a lot of people listening, no doubt, who would say, but wait a minute, I'm a Christian first and an American second, meaning they would never accept laws that would hinder their practice of Christianity. And that's fine, but when it comes to Islam, we have a society that does not establish a religion. We have a society that guarantees equality of rights for everyone, the freedom of speech, the freedom of conscience, and so on. And Islamic law denies those things. And so if these people are Muslims first, the question will arise in the future, how much of that Islamic law do they plan to bring here? And how much are they going to try to infringe upon the rights of Americans in order to be Muslim first? And this is a question that is going to be answered in American history as the time goes by. It really can't be avoided.
Are you concerned about the demographics of the Muslim American community, namely that a majority, in fact, a significant majority, 63% of Muslim Americans are first-generation immigrants to the U.S.?
Well, I don't think it's a very large population anyway, and I'm not really concerned about a population explosion among Muslims in America that would transform American society the way it's transforming Europe. The populations of Muslims in Europe are so much larger, but you don't really need a majority or even a very significant minority to establish to effect massive social change. The Bolsheviks in the Soviet Union and Russia were never a majority, but they were the organized and energized vanguard that had a focus and a goal that the larger population did not have, and they were able to impose their will on that population. And that's what I'm more concerned about than demographic numbers.
72% of the Muslim Americans surveyed said that if they were aware of the plan to build a mosque and an Islamic center near the site of the World Trade Center, they think it should be allowed to go forward. What are your thoughts there?
Well, I think that that is in itself very telling and indicative of the problems with the survey that I've been discussing today with you, that the it sounds as if most Muslims are moderate and peaceful in the United States, but then when you get to this kind of thing, the fact is that that mosque, if it is built, is going to be understood around the Islamic world, whatever the protestations of its organizers, as a triumphal mosque that marks the victory of Islam over the United States on 9/11. There are thousands of triumphal mosques all around the Islamic world. The most famous are the temple, the Dome of the Rock on the Temple Mount, where the Jewish temple used to be, and the Hagia Sophia in Constantinople, which used to be the grandest church in the Christian world. And these are monuments of Islam's victory over Judaism and Christianity. This would be a monument of Islam's victory over the United States, or at least the first strike against the United States. The conversely, there are absolutely no mosques of healing and reconciliation and peace anywhere in the Islamic world, and this would be the first ever of such a mosque of such kind. And the thing is that there's just no theological basis for it in Islam. There's no historical precedent for it. I'm not buying it. And the fact that most Muslims favor this, I think, indicates that they are on board with this poke in the eye to the United States.
Do you think it could be attributed to a kind of naivete on the part of American Muslims, that they have drunk deeply from the wells of American religious freedom? They have bought into the ethos of America, at least politically, with regard to liberty, and they kind of look at their religion with a certain kind of through rose-colored glasses, as many non-Muslims do.
Well, certainly that's an ongoing campaign in the United States, but the problem here is that the Ground Zero Mosque has been the object of so much controversy that even the Imam Faisal Abdul Rauf, the imam behind the project, said just a few days ago in an interview in Scotland that if he had known that there would be so much resistance, if he had known that he would be causing so much pain and grief by doing this, then he would never have done it. And so my response to that is, well, then stop. The thing ain't built yet. You don't have to build it. And the fact that he's still going ahead indicates that there is an underlying hardness and insensitivity behind his protestations of caring. It's the same thing here. I doubt that Muslims could be naive about this project at this point, after all the controversy that it has generated. And at this point, it's abundantly clear that numerous, in fact, the vast majority, 70% of Americans, consider the mosque at Ground Zero to be an insult, to be marking 9/11 in an inappropriate way, and they oppose it. And so if the Muslims are really just happy American pluralists, then they ought to respect that.
Do you see any evidence in this survey that American Muslims are westernizing, that there's, in a sense, kind of small R reformation taking place among Muslims in America? About 30 seconds here.
No, I really don't see any significant evidence of that. I mean, you could point to the low numbers of support for suicide bombing, but I think it's very unlikely that Muslims are going to tell some pollster that they're in the United States that they're in favor of suicide bombing. But the numbers about feeling victimized, as I started out by explaining, by anti-terror policies and the favor the shown to the mosque, these all point in the wrong direction.
Robert Spencer is director of Jihad Watch, author of several books on Islam, including his complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran. You can purchase the complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Robert, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Dr. Frank Beckwith of Baylor University about Mormonism and natural law. Also tomorrow, we'll discuss barrenness with Katie and Michael Schuerman. Thursday on the program, we're going to be talking to Dr. Nathan Jastrom of Concordia University, Wisconsin, about the Old Testament figure. He is post-Moses and pre-Judges, but he really bridges both of those eras in the Old Testament time. Joshua, his name means he saves. Friday, Pastor Heath Curtis will join us. We'll discuss Gregory the Great. Then on Labor Day, we'll discuss Moses with Dr. Andrew Steinman and Zacharias and Elizabeth with Dr. Arthur Just. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.